and welcome back to the podcast Discipleship in Challenging Times. We continue today looking at Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, and we're going to reflect on the phrase breaking of bread, and I'm going to relate this to communion or the Lord's Supper. We pray together. Lord, we bow in your presence and we acknowledge you as Saviour and Lord. We ask and pray that you would come by the power of the Holy Spirit and that you would teach us that we might better live under your Lordship today. In Jesus' name, Amen. So I'll read Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through to verse 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as they had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favour of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Wonderful, dynamic words from the Word of God. And today's episode is entitled A Dynamic Meeting Place. And I want to reflect on the breaking of bread and relate it to communion. There is a general scholarly consensus that when breaking of bread is used here, it's not just having a meal with friends or other believers in homes, although that may have been the wider context. Rather, it is taking bread and wine and remembering the Lord Jesus as he commanded us to do. The tradition in which I've grown up in had a pretty low view of communion. We didn't break bread very often. We didn't have the Lord's Supper on a particularly regular basis, maybe once a month. But if you missed it, it was okay. And as I've read and reflected, I have come to see that as an impoverished view of the special meal that Jesus left us. And by digging into a little bit of theology today, I hope to be able to convince you as well. In the Reformation times in the 15th century, there was a big debate about communion, the Lord's Supper. Actually, it's the 16th century. And Luther is one of those who is talking about the Lord's Supper, Martin Luther. And he says that Christ is present within the bread and the wine. And quite rightly, others took issue with him on this. One of those was Ulrich Zwingli, another reformer. And Zwingli said, no, when Jesus says, this is my body, he means it figuratively, he means it symbolically. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father in heaven, and he is using the language, this is my body, in the same way that he speaks about himself as the door or the gate or the light of the world. It's really important language, but it's symbolic language. And it was the Zwinglian view that I grew up with, and some people even spoke of a real absence of Jesus at the Lord's Supper. He is not here, he is elsewhere. But another reformer came up with a different view. John Calvin talked about the real but spiritual presence of Jesus at the supper. If you ask Calvin, where is Jesus as the bread is broken and the wine is poured out, he would agree with Zwingli in saying that bodily, Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. But Calvin's strong doctrine of the Holy Spirit allowed him to say that by the Spirit, Jesus is here. He is really, but spiritually present as we share communion. We might say today that here is a thin place where we can meet with our God. And this idea has fed through into words in the Anglican Communion service. Feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. That is a Calvinistic view at root, and I would want to argue that even further back, it is a biblical view. We come to take bread and wine, and Jesus is powerfully, spiritually present. We lay hold of him by faith, and we know his presence, and we know his nourishment in our hearts and lives. In case some of you think that I'm suddenly becoming unsound, the view that I am expounding was held by all sorts of evangelical Christians, including Charles Spurgeon, the 19th century Baptist preacher, who again spoke of the real but spiritual presence of Christ at the supper. Here is a dynamic meeting place. And so as we break bread and we drink wine, we remember Jesus, we reach out to him in faith, and we know his presence with us, nourishing our hearts, strengthening us, pouring his grace into our lives day by day. And so I encourage you, the next time you celebrate communion, the next time you celebrate the Lord's Supper, reach out in faith. Be expectant of the presence of our Lord and see how he meets you as the bread is eaten and the wine is drunk. We pause for a moment and come to God in prayer. Lord, we thank you that you have given us the Lord's Supper, bread and wine, physical symbols that speak so effectually and powerfully of the death of the Lord Jesus, of his body bruised for us, of his blood poured out for us. Thank you for that once for all time sacrifice for sin on the cross. And thank you for the Lord's Supper, this thin place where we can come together as your people and know your presence. One of C.H. Spurgeon's communion hymns had the opening verse saying this: amidst us our beloved stands, and bids us view his nail-pierced hands. Lord, we pray that next time we share bread and wine, we would see you with the eye of faith, that we would draw closer to you, that this would be a dynamic meeting place, not only with one another, but also with you. And Lord, thank you that we can know your presence day by day. Thank you that we can know your presence in prayer, and indeed as we go about our daily lives. Lord, whatever this looks like for us at this time, if we are shielding, if we are self-isolating, if we are taking steps back to work, perhaps if we are weary, having worked for months and months on the front line, Lord, we pray for your presence and your help today. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.